Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon from End Screen Media is with me. Hi there, Colin. You're back in the office safely from London.
I am back in the office, indeed, safely from London. It was a great trip, and I've written up several of the panels and discussions I had. So if people want to know what was going on there, they should check out my website. But we have, I think, a couple of pretty interesting things to discuss today, both related to ads online, right?
Absolutely. And you're going to get us started on both. The first one we're going to talk about is the FreeWheel Q4 2018 VMR. And we want to say up front that we acknowledge that we've been covering the VMR, which stood for Video Monetization Report, for ages. I can't even remember how many years we've been doing it. They've actually now updated that acronym. It stands for Video Marketplace Report. And they're focusing a little more on the consumer, on the buy side. So you are going to get us going again with some of the highlights, and we'll get into it.
I am, Will, and I was really looking forward to getting the Q4 report because, well, you know, what we've seen in the last year and in the last 6 months, I think, is I felt like there had been a big expansion in ad-supported premium video, TV video, if you like, online. And I think we find a little bit of evidence in the FreeWheels report that actually has occurred. So I look back at the Q4 2017 report, and it showed that video view growth was outpacing ad view growth. But that changed in 2018. Ad view growth increased 27%, while the increase in video views actually dropped a little to 25%. So that was pretty interesting, because actually the number of ads per video break stayed about the same at about 3.9. So I think what that tells us is, well, there must have been an increase in ad inventory. So I think I got the evidence I was looking for, Will. And I think that expansion of inventory has really come from two places. The first place is, and I think our listeners will not be surprised at all to hear this, and that's because we've talked about virtual MVPDs so much on the podcast. And I'm pretty sure that some of that inventory has come from them. But also, I think it's come from other advertising-supported services like the Roku channel, which, of course, is, I think, relatively recent, only been in market, I think 12 months or 18 months at most. And services like Pluto TV, Zumo, and a bunch of others that are providing linear-like services online. So that was the first thing that really jumped out at me from this report, Will. And I don't know, I mean, did you find that surprising that the ad views increased faster than video views?
I'm not sure what I think about that one, Colin. I mean, I agree with your analysis of probably what's going on there. I don't know that I have a hard and fast view. I do think that the two sources that you identified are right on the money. FreeWheel also noted that there was an 86% growth in live content ad views in 2018. That was, again, reflective of the Winter Olympics and the FIFA World Cup, et cetera. But your point also, I think, about the various ad-supported content providers and initiatives in the market, Roku Channel certainly high on the list, and the marriage of those with connected TV adoption is definitely a big driver of both views, of content views and ad views. In fact, on that latter category, you've actually even coined, or are trying, I should say, early days, to coin a new acronym for that whole class of advertising-supported TV.
I am. I like to call them FAST, which stands for Free Ad-Supported TV. And boy, I think there's been a big expansion. So you said a couple of things there from the data, which I thought was really interesting, Will. The first thing was about connected TV. And yes, we've talked about that a lot on the podcast, and it's there front and center in FreeWheel's data. They said that the connected TV has increased the share of online ad views from 38% to 50%. And that comes at the expense of mainly of the PC, which has shrunk from 27% to 17%. The other thing you said that I thought was really, I really thought this was fascinating. The live viewing continues to increase, and certainly that's there really clear. And you mentioned sports in particular, but I was actually quite surprised because FreeWheel actually breaks out the composition of the live component. And what they said was, well, back in Q4 2017, sports were driving about 77% of live ad views, but its share fell to 57% in Q4 2018. So I thought this was pretty interesting because, again, this shows the influence of virtual MVPDs providing live television, and there that is becoming a much more important component of the live experience. So, and of course, we have other internet native linear services, the so-called FAST providers, and Pluto TV, I think, is a pretty good example of that. And Pluto TV says now it has 12 million active viewers. So, I think sports influence on live is waning a little bit. What do you think?
Well, right. I mean, I guess my interpretation there is that we know that the overall live content ad views grew, and FreeWheel highlighted the role of sports. But I think your point, if I understood it correctly, which is also right, is that the non-sports market is probably growing even faster, and therefore taking up a growing percentage of views. So even despite sports' growth, the growth in the other part of the parts of the market are even stronger. And that's how the numbers sort themselves out. And that, I think, goes back. I think you're absolutely right about this whole category that you're calling, and I call it FAST, by the way, not FOST, but that's fine. but your point is well taken. There are now these multiple providers of ad-supported TV, and we've talked about this in the past, that subscriptions, that's a growing part of the market too, but there's probably some upper boundary, and for some people they're probably already reaching it. And so particularly if they've cut the cord, they're looking for ways to watch free, high quality TV, and that's where the Plutos and the Zumos and the Roku channels, et cetera, of the world really fit in nicely.
They sure do. And what's interesting there is these guys are coming built into smart TVs these days. So you get the TV, you hook it up to Wi-Fi, and bam, you can start watching their live linear channels without hooking up an antenna. So I think that's a big driver of usage. I bet that's a nice surprise for many people who hadn't even thought about that when they bought their smart TV. So I definitely think that that's having a big impact. And I tell you, these FAST providers, and in particular these live linear providers, they're really starting to attract big attention. Of course, Pluto TV was purchased by Viacom, I think it was late last year. No, it was January of this year. And that, I think, if that isn't an endorsement of how important live ad-supported online video is, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I agree. And we're going to talk about Viacom in just a minute. I would say just one other quick thing that was on my mind out of the FreeWheel data is what they cited as part of their ad perceptions survey of 200 advertisers and agencies, which is that more than half of them, 52% of advertisers and agencies, said they're already combining the buying of digital video and linear TV, and that 91% say they're going to do so by 2021. That, I think, really indicates how these two, what have been historically sort of separate markets, video and TV, are really starting to blur and come together, and that advertisers and agencies are recognizing the way that viewers' behaviors are changing back and forth between, as we're talking about here, ad-supported, often on-demand, but now also increasingly linear type services, particularly from the vMVPDs. And they're saying, we want to be able to buy across both digital video, on-demand, linear TV, and do so as effectively and as efficiently as possible. So I thought that was another really interesting data point out of the FreeWheel data. And then the other one is that 74%, almost three quarters of advertisers say it's important or very important to have an integrated digital video and linear TV tech solution. And again, I think that speaks to they recognize the need to buy across, and they want to have the tech solutions that enable them to do so.
Right. And, you know, that's really shows, I think, one of the things that, again, I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, and that is the advertisers are really putting all of the money now into a single pot. And I think this is exciting for digital video providers, because up until now, we know that they've had a lot of trouble tapping into TV dollars, even though they know that they can actually reach particularly younger people, who are, by the way, a core audience for Roku TV. I think I heard that 50% from Viacom, I heard from that 50% of Pluto TV's audience are 18 to 34-year-olds. So this really reinforces, I think, the fact that they're getting, that online digital providers are getting a much better shot at grabbing TV dollars, because I guess, you know, where will those TV dollars go? They'll go where they can get the best attribution. And with targeting still quite challenging in traditional television, particularly in traditional live television, it's just not a problem for people like the Roku and for Pluto TV. They can target every ad if they want to, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an extension of digital, as we both know. So we were starting to talk there about Viacom. You raised it. And so maybe transitioning a little bit from the FreeWheel data, unless there was something else that you wanted to add on that. You also wrote about some cool stuff that Viacom is doing and seems to really have religion on this whole shifting of viewership and embrace of OTT. So why don't you go ahead on that one too?
Yeah. Poor Viacom. Viacom's had a tough shake of it, I think, over the last few years. They, more than probably many other TV programmers, have been facing the brunt of the change to digital viewing, because they target the 18 to 34-year-olds. And really, they have been bailing on TV so fast. 20%, according to Nielsen, 20% less time spent with live and time-shifted television in just 1 year between Q3 2017 and Q3 2018. Big drop. And that really has shown up in Viacom's ratings. For example, the VMAs drew an audience of 12.4 million viewers in 2011. And the VMAs that we just had drew 5.2 million, really a dramatically lower audience.
Just to put an asterisk on that one, as you wrote, the VMA also had a record for online delivery. You broke it into streams, not necessarily eyeballs, but it was a record, which shows that they've certainly offset some of that traditional TV viewership with online delivery.
They sure did. But I mean, that reinforces the fact that I think Viacom has realized that they need to be doing much more online. And they've really, you know, credit to them, they have adjusted their strategy. I think their purchase of Pluto TV was a really good one, bearing in mind how many of Pluto TV's 12 million active users, I mean, half of them, 6 million of them, are in that 18 to 34 age group. So I think that was a really good move. And the funny thing was, I actually was in my meetings and whatnot in the UK last week at Connected TV World Summit. I actually talked to Dan Fay, who is VP of Commercial and Content Distribution at Viacom. Got an interview with him about MTV Play, which is this new direct-to-consumer service that the company has just launched in the UK market. And they are specifically targeting the young. They want to recapture the young. Now, this is a pretty interesting service. It's mobile first, and it's basically got all of the series and library titles and catch-up that MTV provides in that market. It's all available through this platform. And it costs £3.99 a month, or that's about $5 a month for people to sign up for. But they obviously also have very strong partnerships with pay TV providers in that market, Will. And so what they've done is they didn't want to cannibalize that audience, even though we know that that audience is leaving. But they didn't want to hasten that. So I think they, by setting the pricing at £4 or $5, and also making it that MTV Play really can't be watched easily on the television, it can really only be watched on mobile. That still gives the people that are watching on TV through pay television providers in that market a good reason to stick around, because if that's their preferred viewing platform, it's kind of tough to do that through MTV Play. So they're really working very hard to keep existing partners happy, but also get themselves into that market. And I just want to quote Dan Fay. He said, there's a younger segment of MTV's audience that's heavily mobile using, who are disengaging from broadcast VOD, and we felt if we didn't get MTV into that segment, we might lose that audience. And so, you know, this I think is reflected in their actions in the US market and in the UK market. So, I think that they've got a pretty strong play, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I like how you put it there, sort of keep the existing partners happy while forging their way into OTT. I think that's certainly, as you point out, for them, where they were targeting a younger audience, it's a more present challenge than it is for any other cable networks group. It's certainly a challenge across the whole industry. But these moves they're making seem to reflect on their part that they recognize it and they're making aggressive moves. And there was also the news that they've signed a new carriage deal with T-Mobile for the video service that they're going to be launching, which of course is going to be mobile first, if not mobile only. So that's, I think, another initiative where they're going to play, depending on how T-Mobile does with this service. We don't know many of the details. But again, I think shows that they're trying to go after those younger viewers and that mobile is really essential for them.
You bet, you bet. And, you know, the interesting thing is that I think, you know, in checking data, I see the same forces at work both in the UK and in the US and in many European markets. I've just been processing a whole bunch of data that we're going to put out from the Endscreen Media site in a week or two here. And that's looking at data from Germany, Sweden, and the UK. And boy, you know, I really do see the same trends at different stages, but I see the same trends in all of those markets and in the US market, Will. So Viacom, I think, is making some good, solid changes. They're not the only one that are doing this. There was a lot of announcements about Discovery Channel this week as well, making a lot of movements both in the UK and in the US. So they're not the only service, the only content TV content provider that's making these changes. But what it really does is it really seems to reinforce that many traditional TV channels now really have embraced the idea that they have to be, if not digital first, but certainly digital present. And that's probably a very healthy change for them.
Yeah. And also, even as they do that, they want to respect those traditional distribution deals that they have, because that's still the bread and butter of the business. And even despite digital's growth and everything we're saying here, it's going to remain the bread and butter of the business for at least the foreseeable future, unless something really significant changes to accelerate things. So it's definitely a balancing act for them. And I think we see that. You mentioned Viacom Discovery. We could look at all the other network groups, and they're all trying to forge into digital as much as they can, but not, but doing so while respecting the existing relationships.
Right. And do you remember we talked about Roku, Anthony Wood saying that, you know, he thinks that Roku is in an excellent position to reach the young, to reach the 18 to 34 year olds. But, you know, as you look at all the things that Viacom is doing, I really think they're in a, I have to say, I think they're in a better position because they can reach the young that are still within the pay TV system, pay TV ecosystem, and outside of it now with their efforts with Pluto TV and with MTV Play in the UK. I think they can really reach a very, very large segment of that audience. And in fact, Sean Moen, who's head of ad sales for Viacom in the US, he says that he claims that the company can now reach 50% of them across their TV and digital properties. And well, you know, who's to say that that sounds, I'm pretty convinced if that they can do that, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's very much a work in progress for them. And for the other cable networks, and it's fun to watch them try to transform themselves, I think.
Yeah, it is. But of course, you know, for them, unfortunately, or well, maybe it's just that it is. It's not unfortunate at all. Their demographic is the demographic that is moving fastest to digital. Yeah. So it makes sense for them to move quickest.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's about all we have for today, right?
Yep. I think we're just about done.
All right. So good chatting with you. And thanks, everybody, for listening in on this week's edition of the Video News Endscreen Media Podcast. And we'll see you all again next week.